Thank you, Elena. Elena talks about community. She talks about how we connect with each other in real ways. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's fitting that you consider with your work in a way that is referenced to a small group. And I love that. I love this time of year. I love when we've done sign-up Sundays. Peter, in his announcements over the last couple of weeks, have said and introduced this time that we have in the foyer as sign-up Sunday, and it's a time when we have new focus, an exciting time. I hope we were all relaxed through the summer, and now we're back to the routine of being connected, and we got new energy and new focus. And we pray for that here. As the leadership of Bethel Bible Chapel, we pray that there will be, and that we'll have desire for, and that there will be, we pray for new focus and new energy. I've stated this before, but if you go to our website and you'd look up BethelBibleChapel.com and you would look under purpose, you would find our purpose statement. And I've mentioned it to you before. I'm going to mention it again because it kind of relates to what Elena has said. As our focus, our mission statement of what we do every day and how we interact as a church. Listen to this. The purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equips the believers to serve and share God and their faith as a way of life. Wow, I don't think we could have come up with a better mission statement. Concise to the point and very direct and inclusive of everything that we would desire in our heart for ourselves and each one that sits in this room this morning. One of the key words in our purpose statement, our mission statement, is the word fellowship. James MacDonald, in his book Uncommon Community, writes this about fellowship. He says, contrary to what some may think, fellowship isn't red punch and cookies in the church basement. It also isn't something that happens after the service when people stand around in conversation. Nor is it we're having Bill and Sheila over after church to watch the Bears game and have some fellowship. He's from Chicago. These are all good things, and they should happen in a group like ours. That should happen. Those are great things. But that isn't what we're talking about when we talk about biblical fellowship that's described in the scriptures as the force that was critical in holding the early church together. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and to fellowship. It was more than cookies and cake. The truth is that some of the deepest joys in life flow from the life-giving activity of biblical fellowship. And too many of us aren't experiencing this often enough. He goes on to say, we're taking back fellowship. And that starts with understanding what this word really means. Fellowship is the active participation in a common interest. Another way to think about it is a simple term called uncommon community. It's about living for and with one another, and it involves a level of interdependency and transparency that this world doesn't know how to even get there with. And at Bethel, we believe one of our ministries that speak to this Christian biblical fellowship is our small group ministry. It reflects the heart of our mission statement and our purpose statement, where we can do life together, we can encourage one another, we can grow together through Bible study. We can pray and worship together. We can hold each other up. And I don't know about you, but I need to be held up. And we can be authentic and real with each other. And we can love each other. We believe that the meaning of small groups is modeled in Scripture. We've said this before, that this isn't something that we've pulled out of, well, this is kind of a new thing to do. I mean, it's modeled by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had a small group. He had 12 men that hung together. What kind of small group would that have been? Amazing that the leader would have been Jesus Christ.
our Lord.
It's continued in the early church. We read that in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 20, where they continued meeting house to house in a biblical fellowship where they strengthened each other with encouragement. It's instructed by Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 that we're not to forsake getting together as the manner of some are, to encourage and exhort each other. And we are also given a promise that where two or three are gathered together, that Jesus says, I am present with you in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. We're called as a body of believers to do life together, both collectively and personally, collectively meeting here as we did this morning. And this is sweet this morning, from our first service right through to the worship that we've just shared in, the scriptures, Alana and her interaction, we can relate to those things. That's what we do collectively as we get together. We are encouraged by hearing what other believers are doing and how God is working in other areas. We're encouraged by the songs that we sing together and the prayers and the worship that goes up as a collective group. And personally, there's nothing like meeting house to house as the early church did. Josh Dickey and I were talking about this last Sunday. We said, do you think we could get back to the baseline of the early church, the first century Christians? You think we can in this busy, ridiculously treadmilling world? I don't know about you, but every time I speak on a Sunday, I have the most horrendous week beforehand. And Satan is going around like a roaring and ravishing lion, just in case you didn't get that. And he's trying to destroy your life, and he's trying to destroy my life. He's trying to make us ineligible. He's trying to make us without a voice because of what he puts in front of us. And it's a challenge. And meeting together personally, house to house, encouraging and helping each other out in this format of small groups is a key way for us to just be accountable to each other and to encourage each other. What does that small group look like? Well, there's a lot of different formats, but I love our small group. We get together on a Wednesday or a Thursday night, and there's a group of people, there's a host home, and we maybe open with a song, or maybe we don't. We open with prayer, and we share prayer. We share the concerns of our heart, the things that are happening in our life that I wouldn't tell you as a group, but I would tell my small group. Things come out of small group that we would never, ever get an interaction like if we were sitting here and leaning over to a friend up the aisle and saying, hey, by the way, do you know what happened to me this week? It wouldn't happen here, but it happens in small group. And it happens as we pray and we interact, as we pray and we interact and we share and we then talk about the Lord's direction from his word. And it's such a sweet time for us to be encouraged together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 tells us very clearly, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. We can't live to ourselves. My father used to say there are no Lone Ranger Christians. You can't do this on your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 makes it very clear that we're part of a body, and the body has many parts, and each part is needed. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, and if you've made him and trusted him as Lord and Savior, then you're part of this body that works as a group, and we're not individuals standing alone all by ourselves. And as part of a body, you've got something that the body needs for its health that no one else may have. And God has specifically gifted you for that use of the church and the needs of the body. And we believe that small groups is a place where we can foster that gifting, a place where we can hear ourselves pray. And a little personal example, we had a group that, I mean, it was tough to get people to pray, and after you're praying the third time, it's a bit of a problem for everyone. And all of a sudden, we had a crisis in our group. And we began to pray. And all of a sudden, we're not worried about what we're saying, because we're saying it to the God of everything there is. And we're pouring out our heart. All of a sudden, prayer becomes easy, and it becomes just a natural inclination of what we want to tell God and we want to share with others. And it strengthens us, and all of a sudden we got this group that just is knit together. God is working in this ministry here at Bethel, and we've done this before, and we have to really hurry along this morning, but my clock says it's only 5 to 12, So we'll take that extra 5 minutes. But we want to share in what God is doing in the ministry of small groups. So we've got some testimonies this morning. We're going to try to keep this to 3 to 5 minutes for our testimonials. But first, I'd like Jared Horstman to come up and share with us as he explains some of the things that God has been doing through small groups in his life.
Happy to see everyone here. It was nice hearing from Elena earlier this morning because it actually directly relates to what I'm about to say. It didn't start with small group or college and careers with me. It probably started earlier than that. I would say that in high school I was a relatively strong Christian, but then I went off to university. And just as Elena said, a lot of Christians struggle in university and stop being a consistent member of the church or stop being a part of ministry. And I was that individual. At high school, you could see first year, I found a church and I was trying to get involved in it. And second year, I went most of the time, and third year, some of the time, and fourth year, I was a stranger. No one knew me at church. And I came back here to Bethel, and I knew I had a choice. It was either have fellowship, get involved, or basically walk away, be that lukewarm Christian that you hear so much about. And so one of my good friends, actually, he was just married yesterday, Dave Carlasio, he was like, you know what, I've got some guys, we're going to have, you know, a meeting, a really, really small group, there were only four of us, and why don't you come? And I was like, absolutely, this sounds like exactly what I need. And so the month or two of summer after I got back, we were meeting, and I was like, that is wonderful. And I started coming to Bethel again regularly, and the next thing I did was starting to attend College and Careers. And this is a small group for 18 to almost 30-year-olds. And at the time, Rajan and Julia Duncan were leading it. And it was amazing. There were so many times where Rajan poured into our lives, or I had fellowship with one another talking about problems in my life or encouraging someone else in the problems that they were going through. I remember one time, normally we met for smaller groups after the small group, which is sometimes larger than we would consider a small group because we can have over 30 people some days. But this particular day, Rajan was talking about problems in our lives and encouraging us to share with each other and just be honest and open with each other. And there were, I think, seven of us that went upstairs to the Dickies' bedroom and sat. And the question was, just one question, you know, what are you struggling with? And a lot of times when you ask someone, you know, out in the foyer, what are you struggling with, you'll get some generic answer. I don't read my Bible enough. Okay, that's the end of it. But here in this group, it was really, what are you struggling with? And everyone opened up. Everyone. And we really became close. And that small group, we were supposed to come back and pray and have snack and whatnot. And we went until Ed and Karen kicked us out. But it was such an encouragement and such a strength to have that fellowship and that bond. And I just kept going back and back and back. And now I'm leader with two other young men for College and Careers. And I would say I am a strong Christian because of that, because of fellowship and because of that community. And I would encourage anyone here to join a small group. If you're my age more so, then come to College and Careers. We still consider it small. And be a part of that community, because you don't want to experience what I did in university. You want to experience what Elena experienced in university, that strengthening, the faith skyrocketing. It's so much more heartwarming to be involved and to strengthen your faith and to know God well. And small group is a wonderful way to do it. It's probably the single most important thing that has happened in the last decade for me. Thankfully, I've been saved just over 10 years. So come to small group. It's a wonderful time, not just for enjoyment, but also just getting to know God and having a wholesome experience. Thanks.
Thank you, Jared. Christine Hurst is going to come up, and she's got a little package with her. Her assistant.
I brought up a cute face to convince you. Actually, I didn't. This is just the phase of life that we're at, and when there's a sick two-year-old, you make accommodations, and I wrote things down that I was going to say because life happens, and my brain goes all over the place, so I'll just read what I wrote earlier this morning. As I was thinking about what to share, I realized it's not my responsibility to convince you to sign up for a small group, but it is my desire to encourage you to do so because of how the Lord has blessed both myself and my husband and our family through small groups. It feels like I've always been part of at least one Bible study. My parents had Bible studies in our home growing up, and it just felt like a normal way of life. I share that because I wanted to let you know that one of the benefits of small group is for the whole family. I wrote this before this happened. Some of you were in those Bible studies in my parents' home, and you may or may not be aware of the impact that the Bible study community has on a child. For those of you going to a host home with kids, or for the participants in the study who have kids, you have an added blessing of building into the spiritual lives, even if it's mostly indirectly, of children. And that's huge. When I was old enough to be in a Bible study with my peers as either a participant or a leader, I always benefited. And when there were periods without group study, I keenly felt that lack of fellowship. It's always a special blessing to be with a group of believers, to fellowship with them, to pray with them, to study the Bible with them. And when we do it in a small group setting, I think it enriches our worship time together on a Sunday morning as a larger group. I know it has benefited my individual prayer life, and it has benefited my individual walk with the Lord. We become less self-centered and much more mindful of the needs of those around us. When our focus is on deepening our relationship with Christ and we get together with other people who share that focus, it's quite spectacular and amazing to see how the Lord works. When I got married, I moved up to Sioux Lookout, and that was an adventure in and of itself, but it was a difficult transition to be in a new community, and some of you at Bethel are in that situation where this is a new community for you. We did have friends in Sioux Lookout, and there were maybe only 50 to 100 people at church on a Sunday morning, but it wasn't until we started being part of a small group that I truly started feeling like we were making a home and building a meaningful community around us. Bethel is a much larger place, and I have the advantage of having grown up in Sault Ste. Marie, and I know many of the faces that are here. And Bethel has always felt like home, but it deepened that sense by being part of small group last year. So if you're new to Bethel, the best thing you can do is sign up for small groups, and I share that from my experience. The last thing I have on my heart to share is an example from small group this past year of how I was personally encouraged. I was driving home from work on a Thursday afternoon, and I was quite troubled by a matter of a personal nature and kind of to the point that I was driving in tears, and one of the thoughts that was running through my mind was, oh, great, there's small group tonight, and I have to see people. And then I thought, oh, there's small group tonight. I have people coming to my house, and they will pray with me. And I'm upset, and I'm not doing well, but that's okay, because I have people who care enough about me that they're going to lift me up to the Lord in prayer. And they did. And it wasn't a nuisance to have small group, because it's not about the socializing, which is fun, or the snack, which is always delicious, but it's about knowing that the body of Christ would be at work in the perfect way that God intended. It's humbling to know that God cares, and he uses his people to manifest his love in a very tangible way and to build each other up. So sign up for small groups.
Ann Bone is going to come up and speak with us.
I've been involved in small group Bible studies for quite a number of years. In fact, when Alana was up here, I was thinking I was involved at McGill 50 years ago when I first started. Anyway, that was hard to take, but anyway, I have found that my relationship with my Lord Jesus deepened as we studied God's Word and His Bible, and as we discussed and pondered what we learned. And I learned to value my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I appreciated the different talents and gifts and opinions of each one in our small group. The last 2 to 3 years, I've come to really rely on my small group for support during a difficult time. A couple years ago, Ron and I received a devastating report that his bladder cancer had spread and was stage 4. This report came to us on the day of a small group that we were attending at Chad and Danielle Ritzma's. Ron encouraged me to attend small group that evening as he wanted me to share this news and to have them pray for us. It was such a blessing to have hugs, tears, and prayers shared with this group. I felt Ron and I were very loved and cared for it. Last winter, when Ron needed around-the-clock care, I booked respite care for him so I could attend small group. And also, I booked it for breaking of bread on Sunday, 2 important things in my life to support me. These 2 meetings of believers gave me the strength I needed to carry on with the Lord as we journeyed through Ron's cancer. And I just want to close with this verse from Jeremiah 3:8. Audrey wrote it out for me, or for Ron, actually. She wrote, "We love you so much, Uncle Ron." And this is what the verse is, Deuteronomy 3:8. "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And when I'm in a small group, I know the Lord is working through those in our group. We saw a lot of his love shared by fellow believers, gifts of food, people coming and sitting with Ron so I could go out shopping and stuff. I really encourage you to get involved. When you need the support, you have a group of believers that are there for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. We have 5 minutes. I'd like to read something that pertains to that. I think we need to finish this service this morning with reading of God's Word. From Romans chapter 12, and there's a great study in being a Romans chapter 12 Christian. It's something we're going to do in small groups coming up in the future. It's a great study, but I want to read verses 3 to verse 13. You'll see it up on the screen here in the New King James Version. It's what it says. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being members, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality." Wow, what a great list of things that we need to be involved in. And I just think about three things really quickly as I think about our fellowship, biblical fellowship. A biblical fellowship is that we are members of one body. The danger we face is that we think that we're called individually, and we are called individually to faith in Jesus Christ, that we live individually. Well, we don't. Because once we're connected to Christ, we're connected to each other. That's as the scripture said in verse 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, all members are not the same, but we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of each other. You see, once we're connected to Christ, we're connected to each other. So our fellowship is a requirement of our faith. It's the result of our faith. And so we're connected to each other individually, many members of one body, and every function is different. That means I need you and you need me. And if one part of the body is hurting, then the whole body suffers from that one part. Think about this. I had a hip replacement back in June, and Jennifer can attest to this. I was having problems with this one leg, and all of a sudden, everything else that you do is inhibited by this leg problem. You think about some of us that have been in accidents and we've lost blood, and all of a sudden, we might have lost blood in our hand, but it affects every other limb in our body. And so you think about the effect that we have on the body when we don't participate as we should participate. And we don't give what God has given us to give back to the body. And so this is so critical in body life. In Christ, we're individual members of each other. In the body, there are many gifts and we're all needed. We're instructed in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, that we're not to neglect the gift that's in us. In 2 Timothy 1 and 6, we're reminded to stir up the gift that God has given us. Those are important things for us to understand, that God has given us something that the body needs, and we need to use that for the body. And a place where we can do that is when we interact with each other in biblical fellowship. And the last part is we need to love the body. And we see that here at Bethel. This is a great representation of what a body love is all about. I love the fact that we have such we reach out and we touch each other with affection and care. And that's what we need to do. We need to do that whether you're involved in a small group or not. We need to do that as believers of and fellow believers in Christ and sisters and brothers, that we need to be kindly affectionate to each other, holding each other up, supporting and encouraging. I encourage you wherever and whatever ministry you're involved in, that these be things that are front and center in our view of how the Lord would want us to be part of a functioning, participating body. How we can bring to the glory of God what God has given. And, you know, I think about that parable about the servants that were given talents, and a couple went out and they multiplied it. There was one guy, he just buried it. He said, well, I know you're a tough master, and I thought, well, I better protect it. God doesn't want us to bury our gifts. He wants us to use it. They're no good in a box 3 feet in the ground in our backyard. What we need to do is we need to use what God has given us. We need to be participate in the body. And I encourage each one as we function in this fellowship that we call Bethel Bible Chapel, that we function to the ability God has given us, that we are individually members of one another, and that we encourage one another. I would say that we can do that as we function in small groups. Let's stand together and let's close off our service with prayer as Darren and the team gets ready to just do one last closing song. Let's just commit our time to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your light. We thank you, Lord, that we've heard about young people in Atlanta's ministry that are calling on your name for a change in their life. We ask, Lord, that we would be a model of what we say in our vision statement, that we would be able to show our faith to those around us, that we would be able to share it with joy and with exuberance because we've been encouraged by one another and because we're encouraged in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. And if there's anyone here that needs to be in the big small group, which is the body of Christ, that they would understand that the first step for fellowship, biblical fellowship, is to get connected to the one who is the vine. the one who is the source of our eternal strength, the one who empowers us by his Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would convict their hearts. We've asked for the Spirit to be welcome here, and we ask that it would be present in our gathering as we close out this hymn, that we'd be very aware of the Spirit of God tugging at our heartstrings, wherever it is, whatever our need be. For those of us that are believers, to be more involved, to participate, to be what God wants us to be for his glory. And for those that may not know you, Lord, we just pray that your hand would be on them even today, that they would see the light of your glorious gospel. They would see Jesus as they've never seen before. And as we sang that, as they put their eyes on Jesus, that this world would grow dim in the brightness of his glory. We just pray this as we close off. We ask your blessing on each one here. Thank you for the participants. Thank you for the testimonies. We ask that you'll bless each one that participated this morning. We pray for Atlanta and her ministry, and we ask that your hand would be on her, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.